looking for that perfect Christmas gift for the family? Why not a chicken? Stick a bow on top, put the chicken under the tree, and who knows, you may even have a couple eggs to fry up for breakfast Christmas morning. Give the gift that keeps on clucking. A chicken. Okay, maybe it's not the perfect gift for your family, but it is the perfect gift for a poor family in Asia. A chicken can break the cycle of poverty for a poor family. Yes, a chicken. A chicken's eggs provide food and nourishment for a family, and they can sell those eggs at the market for income. When you donate a chicken or any other animal through Gospel for Asia, 100% of what you give goes to the field. And the best gift of all, when Gospel for Asia gives a poor family an animal, it opens the door to the love of Jesus. So give the perfect gift for a family in Asia this Christmas. Give them a chicken. Call 866-WIN-ASIA. Or to see chickens and other animals to donate, go to CritterCampaign.org.
This is Stu Epperson from the Truth Talk Podcast, connecting current events, pop culture, and theology. And we're so grateful for you that you've chosen the Truth Podcast Network. It's about to start in just a few seconds. Enjoy it, and please share it around with all your friends. Thanks for listening, and thanks for choosing the Truth Podcast Network.
This is the Truth Network.
Welcome to the best of Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics and Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. In this podcast, you will get to hear some of the best calls and segments from Matt Slick Live. And here he is, Matt Slick.
Andrew from Florida. Welcome. You're on the air.
Good evening, Matt. How are you today?
Busy. And by God's grace, sitting here, being able to do the radio show. So doing okay. Hanging in there, man. What do you got, buddy?
So I have two questions. The first one has to do with the perseverance of the saints.
All right.
I was wondering what that looks like in what does that look like in day-to-day life?
Well, perseverance of the saints just means that Christ has bought you and you cannot lose your salvation because God himself will work the perseverance in you, through you and upon you. And that's what it means. And so it manifests in our lives, in our struggles against sin, in our failures as well, in our hope that's in Christ, that we realize we don't have to do good things in order to keep ourselves right with the infinitely holy God, which is false doctrine. And so it really, like in my case, I can tell you what it manifests in is confidence. Confidence in my Lord and thankfulness that I'm secure in Him and that my goodness is not what determines my salvation, how I maintain it. And so because of that, I'm free then to be able to live my life for Christ and mess up. Not that I want to mess up, but I'm not worried about my mess ups making God kick me out of the kingdom of God. And so I'm not fearful. I'm expectant. And because of that, I'm free to do as much as I can to serve Him. I mean, that's how it manifests, at least in my life. Okay?
Okay. Right. And the so second one has to do with marriage. Go ahead.
Okay.
What were you saying?
Marriage, yeah.
My second one has to do... Yeah, my second one, marriage. I looked at pornography and my wife wound up leaving me shortly after that.
Okay.
And she began to get into relationships with different men. And she wound up with 5 different relationships, and she wound up having a baby with somebody else. So I was wondering if I was able to marry again, because I was the first one. I looked at pornography, and she said that is cheating, which I agree. But my question is, like, can I ever remarry? Because she continuously, I never slept with anybody physically. It was just, you know, watching pornography. And then she actually did. She was in 5 different relationships in over a 5-year period and wound up having a child with somebody. So I was wondering, am I able to ever marry again?
Because
I was the first one that...
What I would suggest is to go to the elders of your church. Now, I'm not dismissing you, but we're going to talk about this a little bit. Now, you are attending church, right?
Yes.
Okay. And because of the nature of this, and plus I don't want to get in too much detail because I know that children are sometimes listening. But so here's the thing is to what degree is that porn a thing that justifies the accusation of adultery? Because in one sense it is, in another sense it's not. Now, Jesus said, if you look on a woman to lust after her, you've committed adultery with her in your heart. But that's different than actually going through with it. And I'm not saying, therefore, porn's okay. I'm not saying that. But what do we do when you see an attractive woman and for whatever reason, you lust after her for 5 seconds, let's just say, and you catch yourself. Does that mean now you committed adultery? Well, in one sense, yes, in the sense that Jesus said the requirement of is a purity of your heart. But on the other hand, no, you didn't. You didn't actually do anything. You didn't actually go through with it. And so I would say in a situation like that, that's not grounds for divorce. And I would say that you're still able to remarry in this situation that I just gave because you repented of it, etc., and you didn't actually go through with anything with a real woman. I'm not saying it's okay, of course, but when we get into the issue of how many times, how long, how many issues, what's this, for how long, then it becomes something that's a little bit more serious, and this is why the elders need to be involved in your church, because it just there's some variables in there. If you are, for example, I'll say to people, if they're struggling, let's say there's a man who's struggling with this, and let's just say once every 3 months he falls into it, and he's married, and he confesses it, and it's just a real struggle for him, for whatever reason. I'm not saying it's okay, and I'm not saying it's justified. But let's just say this is what what happens to him. And he hates it, and he's at war with it, and he falls every now and then. And he doesn't hide it from everybody. He talks to his wife. He even goes to the elders of his church. Would that be grounds for divorce? I'd say no. It's a sin, and he's struggling. And I would say his wife doesn't have the grounds for that. And what about a man, though, who is hiding it and is going through it over and over and over, and that's what he's thinking, that's what he's desiring, and his relationship with his wife is being negatively affected in a great way. She's found out. The elders have found out. They're saying, you need to stop this. And he just doesn't. He doesn't care. Is that grounds for divorce? Now we're approaching the area where it might be grounds for divorce. Because it's an unrepentant seeking of sin in the relationship of others, but even though it's not a real relationship, but it's a pseudo relationship. So then we get into the issue of it might be justifiable. Because there's a gray area in between, this is why the elders need to be involved. So does that make sense?
Yeah, I wasn't, we weren't actually going to church at the time.
Okay.
And because I started going through the divorce, I started, you know, seeking after the Lord, and I started this fellowship and really seek God in my life, mm-hmm. you know. And I talked to Dr. Dave Durst. He has a master's degree from my pastor's University of Pittsburgh in biblical studies. And he told me that he thinks that I can remarry, you know, based on knowing more details.
Right.
But,
that's what I was saying, is if it's in the issue of struggle, repentance, you're trying, you're failing, you know, I would tend to say, yeah, you can remarry, but you need to be involved with the elders. And here's something I recommend with people that I've never heard anybody else recommend, but I recommend that you keep a journal of what it is that you're doing in order to make things right with God, make things right with the people offended. You keep a record, a date, you know, I called Matt Slick on the radio and blah, blah, blah. I talked to my elder so-and-so. I called so-and-so about this. I'm working hard to, you know, make this right. The reason I'm talking about this kind of a thing is because what happens is you will then have a record that you can present to others about your struggle and your desire to work against it. It's a sign of repentance. It's a sign of sanctification. And this is a good thing. So I've recommended this, for example, to one. I started this years ago with a woman whose husband was committing adultery, and she was willing to reconcile. And he continued to commit adultery. And this record that she was keeping was able to justify her efforts in doing what was right so that she'd be free to remarry when she wasn't the one who was wrong, if that makes sense.
Hi, I'm Matt Slick, and I want to tell you how much I love MyPillow. Check out the new mattress topper. With the MyPillow mattress topper, you can get some of the best sleep of your life. It comes with a 10-year warranty and cover that's washable and dryable, and it's made right here in the USA. It's also backed with Mike Lindell's 60-day money-back guarantee. So go to MyPillow.com and save 30% when you use promo code TRUTH or call 1-800-944-5396. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code TRUTH or call 1-800-944-5396.
Thank you for listening to the best of Matt Slick. Take it away, Matt.
Let's get back on the phone with Andrew from Florida. Andrew, welcome. Are you still there?
Yes, we are. Thank you.
Okay.
So I have a friend inside. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. It's all right.
Yeah, I have a friend inside the car with me. We're driving to church right now. He has a question. Can he pop in real quick and ask?
Sure, we have nobody waiting, which is unusual. So, yeah, I love talking about marriage, so no problem.
All right, here's Carl.
Yes, how you doing, Matt?
Doing all right, by God's grace, Carl. God bless, man. What do you got, buddy?
So my question is, like, there's some pastors that, let's say, me and my wife are both saved, we're both believers, right? And there's some pastors that believe that it's okay to remarry. And then there's some pastors that don't believe that you should never remarry unless your spouse is dead. And what I mean by that, let's say me and my wife, right? My wife cheats on me and I try to work it out, but then I want a divorce. Like, would I be able to do that according to biblically? Or, because like I was saying, like some pastors say, yeah, fine, you can do that. And then some say, you should never get divorced because God hates divorce. You should always try to work it out, no matter if it's adultery or domestic violence, you know, or just no room for divorce unless she dies. So I just want to hear a biblical view on that. Like, you know?
Well, biblically speaking, God issued Israel a certificate of divorce. And I forgot exact reference. I think it's Jeremiah 3:1. No, it's not. But at any rate, I'll probably find it during a break. Maybe someone will put it in. I used to know it by memory. But so divorce is not automatically a sin because God issued Israel a certificate of divorce based on their spiritual adultery. They went after false gods. Now, the Bible talks about two reasons that dissolve the marriage. One is adultery. And this is out of Matthew 19:9. And Jesus says, I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality and marries another woman commits adultery. And generally what's understood here is the issue of adultery. The word there for immorality is porneia, which means sexual immorality and adultery. So this is a ground for divorce, and let's just say a couple is married, and let's just say she commits adultery, and he's trying to work on it, and she divorces him, he's the innocent party, and he's free to remarry, she's not. Another grounds for divorce is in 1 Corinthians 7:15. If the unbelieving spouse leaves, let him leave. The brother or sister is not bound in such a case. Now, generally speaking, what this is in the context of persecution, and this is where Paul said this, but he does say, if they leave, let them go. You're not under bondage in that place. So what that means is the other person has abandoned the marriage covenant, abandoned it, and has deserted. The reason this is important is because when I do a wedding, you know, and I do weddings, and I marry a couple, I always go through the issue of the wedding ceremony with them and the vows that they make. The reason that marriage is what it is because they're making a promise before God, before each other, and before the community, or the people. It's a Trinitarian kind of a commitment. It's three-way in that it's between the couple and God, between the members of the marriage party, the husband and the wife, and between the husband and the wife and the community, the witnesses, the people. So, because God does things by his speech, he does things by the power of his word, and he binds himself by his promises, so too we bind ourselves in marriage to be faithful to our wives, for example, etc., etc. And so, because I take marriage seriously, and my wife does too, this is why we're still married. We would be divorced if it wasn't for us being Christians, because we had some rough times. And we did not want to be married to each other. We didn't love each other. This is all true. And the fact is, well, we went to counseling, and the counselor said, so what's love got to do with being married? And this, as the short version, he said, now you can love your wife as Christ loves you, not dependent upon how you feel, but upon your commitment. And this is what Christ has done with you. He's committed himself to you, so you are to behave in a manner consistent with the love of God to you. He doesn't love you because of how good you are, how pretty you are, how many sandwiches you can make, or if you feel like it. So start loving her biblically, which is what we started doing to each other, and here we are still married, and I'm glad. So this is a slight point about what the issue is, the nature of marriage. People don't take it seriously because they don't take the bond of their word before God, before each other, and before people seriously. So when someone abandons and commits adultery, what they're doing is breaking the covenant promise to be faithful to one another in sickness and in health. This kind of a thing means I will, for example, I will never have relations with another woman as long as I live, as long as I'm married to my wife. You know, if I were to remarry, that's the only possibility. But I'm never going to do this. And I will never abandon her either. It was just never going to happen because we're both committed to each other. And so in the promise of my marriage, I promise to be faithful to her and to always be there with her. So if I were to commit either one of those by abandoning her and or committing adultery, then she has the grounds for divorce, not the obligation, but the grounds. And she'd be the innocent party at that point. So you see, this is how it works. So when people say you can never get married, remarried, except you, that you die, well, Jesus says in Matthew 19:19, I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for immorality, porneia, sexual impurity, and marries another woman, she commits adultery. And in 1 Corinthians 7:15, if an unbelieving one leaves, let him leave. The brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. Those are the two grounds. Okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Now, are you married?
Thank you, Matt.
Okay, real quick. Carl, are you married?
No.
All right.
No, I'm not.
Okay, let me give you some advice.
Is it?
Okay.
Yes.
If you're dating a woman and you're serious about her, the only reason you are dating her is to consider her as a possible marriage partner, which means that you need to honor her and protect her. This is for advice for everybody. If you're in the car alone with her, that's not something to be advisable. You would not want to be in the apartment alone or home alone with her behind closed doors. Because what you would be doing at that point would be compromising her integrity and her reputation. And if you're going to marry any woman, then what has to happen is she has to be able to trust you that what you're going to do is guard her before marriage as well as after marriage. These are the kind of things I teach men. How much are you going to honor her?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's trusting, God is trusting you with a woman whom you're to protect and honor. And it's not just a physical protection, but a spiritual one and a reputation one as well. These are some of the things that need to be talked about. But anyway, I just want to say that. All right?
All right, man. Thank you. We'll talk
right,
again. Thank you. Have a
all
good
right,
week.
Man.
Thanks, Matt.
Hey, all God right, bless. Buddy. God bless you guys. All right.
Always a pleasure.
Oh, I'm glad. At least someone who says it's always a pleasure, because usually it's not always a pleasure. If you want to learn some theology, you can go to the carm.org website, carm.org. In the right-hand side of any page, you'll see a laptop, and it says online schools. And you can just click on that, and you can sign up for the schools. And if you want to know your theology, this is the place to do it. You can't go to seminary, you can't go to Bible college, you're not sure which book to read. I've been doing apologetics for 40 years and got thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of teaching and debating and things like that. And I've learned what needs to be taught in the basics, but not just so basic that you don't have any information. I mean the basics and some. And I put it into the schools in a logical order. And if you learn anything, go to that theology school. Go check it out. And you'll learn about the Trinity, the hypostatic union, communicatio idiomatum, justification, imputation. You'll learn about these things so you can know what the Christian faith is.
For more information about online schools, be sure to visit carm.org.
Welcome back to the best of Matt Slick.
Take it away, Matt.
I found the verse during the break, Jeremiah 3:8. This is what God says. And I saw that for all the adulteries of faithless Israel, I had sent her away and given her a writ of divorce. Yet her treacherous sister Judah did not fear, but she went and was a harlot also. So here's the thing, it's interesting. God issued a writ of divorce against Israel. And this is Jeremiah 3:8. And yet, there's going to be a wedding feast later on, the marriage ceremony of the Lamb. There's going to be, in a very loose sense, a remarriage. Now, this is typological, it's representative, it's poetic, but the idea here is that the intimacy of marriage is something God takes very seriously, and yet God issued a writ of divorce. He also says in Isaiah 50, verse 1, "Thus says the Lord, where is the certificate of divorce by which I have sent your mother away?" So, the certificate of debt, excuse me, of divorce, the writ of divorce that God is talking about is due to the spiritual adultery. So he uses this analogy in that sense. But nevertheless, in Matthew 19:9 and 1 Corinthians 7:15, we have what appears to be the two justifications for divorce. Okay, so there you go. Check it out. If her husband divorces her, can she remarry? Let's talk about this issue of remarriage and stuff. And if you want to give me a call, folks, five open lines. Boy, it's a slow day. 877-207-2276. Let's talk about this issue of marriage. If you were married and your spouse abandoned you and or committed adultery, and you are seeking reconciliation to work it out, but your partner, your spouse, abandoned you, committed adultery, and did not want to be reconciled, did not want to repair that marriage, and went through with that divorce, then you're the innocent party, and you're free to remarry. That's how it works. Now, if you have been the one committing the sin, and you divorced your spouse, you can and cannot remarry depending. Because if you are an unbeliever and you did this, this is one of the arguments that some people will raise. If you're an unbeliever, you committed adultery, let's say, and then years later, you know, you're divorced, years later you become a Christian. Then what happens? Because now all of your former sins, all these sins are taken care of, and you've come to a place of repentance, then can you remarry? Some say yes and some say no because you weren't as a Christian. What would happen, though, if you were a Christian, claimed to be a Christian, claimed to walk with God, and had committed adultery, and your spouse divorced you? Then we could make the case that you cannot remarry because you were the one who was the offending partner in the marriage, knowing better, in supposedly a Christian relationship, under the banner of being a Christian. Now, these are just topics that have to be discussed because there are variables, and I'm not saying that these are absolute. I'm just saying that there are differences of discussions among theologians about the issue of marriage and remarriage. Some go so far as to say you can't remarry no matter what situation is unless your spouse dies. Then you can remarry, period. And some will say if you committed either one of those sins, abandonment or adultery, you can never remarry under any circumstances. Then there's others who would go so far as to say, well, as long as you repent, you're really nice about it, you can get remarried. And no, I wouldn't go that far. But then another variable, what do you do if you you committed adultery and either Christian or non-Christian, we'll get into the details there, and then you got remarried later? And then you realize what you did in the remarriage was a sin because you shouldn't have done that. Then what do you do? Well, this general consensus is you stay married and you don't get divorced because it would just be making something even worse. And you stay where you are, and that would mean, though, that you'd never be qualified to be an elder or deacon in a church and things like that. So these are just the surface areas. They require a lot of discussion. That's why I say to people, get involved with your elders about these things.
And now, a moment of truth with Matt Slick.
I have a saying, trust and go. Trust God. Move forward. Now, don't don't be stupid. You know, I'm going to trust God to catch me when I jump off this building and go down 10 stories. No. You know, if God calls you to do something, it's on your heart, then move in that direction. What I would suggest you do is, if you have something you want to do that you're thinking about, you haven't told anybody, pray about it and ask God to increase it if it's from Him, and decrease it if it's from you. Because, you know, I have certain desires, and I regularly pray, Lord, if this is from you, increase it. If it's not from you, decrease it. And I'll notice things will decrease in a lot of areas. But the things I want to do in different ways, He increases. And it's because of His gifting. It doesn't matter what it is. So you have to trust God, but you have to do. You can't just sit. You have to take chances and try and help somebody, whatever it might be, because maybe you might help somebody and find out, oh, I do not like doing this. It might not be your gifting. And you find something else to do. And then after a while, you say, wow, I cannot believe that I really like going to the bread stores, getting a bread that's a little bit old and taking it to the homeless shelter. I love doing that. But that's what you like to do. And you might not know that, you know, if you didn't try. But then you might try that and say, that's not for me. Okay, then it's not for you. Try something else. But what we do is we move forward in our giftings.
This has been A Moment of Truth with Matt Slick.
Thank you for listening to the best of Matt Slick. Take it away, Matt.
Hey, Vicki, you're on the air?
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Hi, Matt. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you?
A couple things I want to ask you about. I didn't get to talk to you a long time ago. I want to ask you because it really bothered me and some other people I mentioned it didn't bother me much. But when they were allowing back, was it like in May, when they were allowing that the call to prayer, and I think it was maybe Minneapolis, Minnesota, or something like that, to be broadcast over the city?
The Islamic?
Everything like that. It really... Yes, it really upset me and bothered me because of what the words were, what the meaning was behind it, saying that that was the true God, the only God, or God above all gods, or whatever it is it means. What were your feelings on that? I mean, am I overthinking that it bothered me that much?
No, it should bother you that the government would facilitate an anti-democratic religious system that's oppressive to women, kills homosexuals, threatens atheists, and says that Christianity is polytheistic and worships false God and must be done away with. This is what Islam teaches. And if you go to Surah chapter 9, it talks about subjugating all people under Islam and what's called Sharia. So the politicians, I have a theory, and I think my theory really, I think it's correct. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen zombie movies. Zombies, you know, their brains aren't working right. They don't have any frontal lobe functioning. They're just kind of... Well, a lot of the far-left Democrats, they don't have any frontal lobe functioning. So I have a theory that they're actually zombies. And you can tell...
I can believe that.
Yeah, I think there's something to that. You can tell zombie, to zombify, is to act like a zombie, not use your frontal lobes, and do stupid things. And this is one of them. And... the leftists, who don't have a pure frontal lobe functioning, the far leftists, you know, they're in power, and it's really a sad thing. So yeah, you know, this is my opinion of it. Islam is a dangerous religion, and I've studied it, and I've done seminars on it, I've taught on it, I do, you know, I've taught on it for years. It is, it's an evil and dangerous religion, and it flat out is.
Yeah.
And so, why would anybody want to have a public call to prayer, and then yet you penalize Christians? You don't let them go to church and worship. And what do Christians do? They say, let's serve our community faithfully. Let's not riot. Let's not threaten people with death. Let's not put women under subjugation. Let's not kill homosexuals. Right. Let's not do that stuff. And what do the government do? No, let's attack the Christians and set the Muslims free. This is zombification. It is. So the coming zombie apocalypse, I think, will be, you know, it's forthcoming with the rise of the socialist, leftist, communists who want to do stupid stuff to our country. So, yeah.
Well, I just felt like, you know, to me it was like, oh my gosh, what does God think about us allowing this? I mean, like, I just felt like it was blasphemous in a lot of ways because we were allowing it to happen so publicly and openly. I'm not... You know, people want to believe it, they want to believe that's their business kind of thing, but it was being freaking broadcast. You know what I mean? Like, over a whole city, and I thought, oh my gosh, what does God think of this? You know, what? How does he...
Well, he would never want...
I know he couldn't have been happy about it.
He would never want a nation to promote the ungodliness of any religion, except the truth that he
exactly.
has given. And it's a horrible thing that our government is doing and people are doing in a lot of areas. It really is. It's amazing to me. All you have to do is... There's something wrong with the leftists, the politically correct people who just... They don't
uh-huh.
think. They just react. They hold their finger up. Which way is the social wind blowing? I'll just go that way. It doesn't matter what truth is. Let's not examine anything. We have to get rid of Christianity because it's oppressive and it's evil and it's wrong. And let's get something in like Islam and have people come in because it's
Yeah,
it's a religion of peace. I read an article where a guy was not admitted into Canada because he said Christianity was a religion of peace. That was the reason they wouldn't let him in, because he said that. And in Isaiah 5:20, it says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes in drinking wine and valiant men, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the rights of the ones who are in the right. That's Isaiah 5:23. And that's what's interesting. Uh-huh. Who justify the wicked for a bribe. They're not trustworthy people. They're in political power. And they take away the rights of the ones who are in the right. This is what's happening in our country today.
Yeah,
and it's in a bunch
scary.
Of woes. Oh, yeah, yeah. So, yeah, what do I think about it? I'm very restrained on the radio, let's just say. And because I need to be restrained on the radio. But, you know, I like to say things like this in a polite form. Islam is an evil religion from the pit of hell that was used, where Satan used the false prophet Muhammad, who's a pedophile thief, who got guys to have their sexual fantasies fulfilled as long as they would kill people and things like this and do stuff and cause bloodshed, and then they were given the possessions of those whom they killed and said that this is what Allah wants. This is the true God. So Islam is a false religion. Muhammad is a false prophet, and I'll debate any Muslim on it. Publicly, let's go on TV. Let's do it. It's an evil religion that is dangerous. And I got statistics. I got information.
I agree.
On it. And, you know, Catholicism is bankrupt. I say that. It's serving the evil one because its official doctrine on salvation in Mary is Antichrist. And, you know, I'm going to say it. And people need to say stuff like this on the radio. They need to speak up. And this is me saying it calmly.
Yeah.
Because
that's
I believe...
Really, and that's so sad to me.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
One of the nicest people I know that I worked with, she was Catholic, and she is Catholic, and like mm-hmm. she's a way better person than I am, in my opinion. Like the super nicest person mm-hmm. and caring person, and I knew she was a devout Catholic. She was raised that way and stuff, and I just think about what she's been taught to believe, you know, and it just kind of just makes me feel really bad. And I never really knew what to say or how you approach somebody whose whole life is based on that belief system. Like,
try
what
this.
Can you say to them without totally turning them off, you know?
Try this. Just say, look, you know, you're Catholic, right? Okay, do you believe Jesus is God in flesh? And she's going to say yes. Do you believe that he forgives sins? Yes. Do you believe you can pray to him? Yes. If you were to pray to Jesus and ask him to forgive you of all of your sins, would he do that? And if she says no, well, then you know, that's a problem. But if she says yes, then you say, well, why don't you do that? Because that's what you're asking her to do.
That's just basic.
Yeah, it's so basic. And I ask Catholics this all the time. I asked it just last week or earlier this week. I don't even know what day it is. Yeah, and earlier this week I was talking to Catholics, and they won't do it. They don't want to pray to Jesus and ask him to forgive them. But they say that if they did, then all the sins are forgiven. Well, then why do you need a priest? You can go to a priest for forgiveness. Well, you can go straight to Jesus. And they give me all these reasons. Well, that's a true church. Well, if it's a true church, then why is it not pointing you to Jesus just like I did? So it's the Holy Spirit bears witness of Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, why is it not, you know, the truth? You know, is this real simple? But people like to be led around by their nose because they don't want to do the heavy lifting of thinking. They want to do what they want to do. And it's a great deception. We are by nature children of wrath, Ephesians 2:3. We're deceived, and we need the light of the gospel, and it works against our natural tendencies of self-righteousness, pride, and arrogance. So, this is why.
Welcome back to the best of Matt Slick. Take it away, Matt.
Let's get to... Oh, man, we got so much going on here. Let's get to Larry from North Carolina. Larry, welcome. You are on the air.
Thank you for taking my call, Matt. My question has to do with military service and militia service.
Military
if
service?
A Christian can join the military and serve honorably, defend the Constitution and the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, then would you see any issues with them also joining a militia to do the same, protect the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic? Do you see any dividing line there? Do you see any problems with that for a Christian?
Personally, no.
Okay. I like to refer back to Book of Nehemiah, where Nehemiah is building the wall, and basically they have a wall building tool in one hand and a weapon in the other, defending their cause. And I don't know if that's a leap for a militiaman. But our country's been torn down to the point where it needs rebuilding. And in order to get it done, we may have to take up arms. That's my opinion.
That's historically speaking, you never get a country back little by little. It's always through, unfortunately, it's always through violence. Countries decay historically, little by little by little. The liberals get in. And I was mentioning yesterday, people need to study the rise and fall of the Roman Empire because the parallels with America are just incredible. And one of the things that happened is homosexuality became normative, pedophilia did, then also these people in power started passing laws that they themselves were exempt from. Morality was lax. And... So, you know, these are some of the things that went on, and then the Roman Empire fell. And then they basically, as things were getting worse, they started blaming the Christians. They got to have someone to blame, so they started blaming Christians or killing Christians. I'm worried about the same thing happening here. I don't know what's going to happen, but, you know, the idea of fighting. I understand that during the Revolutionary War, there were ministers who would preach a sermon on Sunday morning, and then when they're done, they would take off their collar, and they would go pick up their muskets and go out and resist the enemy. Is that right? Is it wrong? I don't know. But
that's true. That is true.
Yep. And the preamble.
And it is right.
Well, you know, that's. I'll just say that is your opinion. I'm not saying it is right or isn't right. But I do know that the preamble of the Constitution does say we have an obligation to throw off an oppressive government. I believe it's a preamble that says that. And so, what do we do? Because in November, we've got some issues. I talk about this a lot with my friends. November, if Trump gets elected, people are going to hate it. If Biden gets in, people are going to hate it. And what are we going to do? There are people with guns on both sides ready to shoot at each other. And the reason this is the case is because everyone's doing what's right in their own eyes. They don't have their eyes on God. They have their eyes on something else. And the left, the far left, doesn't have any moral compass. Its agenda, it's leftism. The Christian church on the right hasn't been doing its job. It's been too narcissistic, thumb-sucking, and, you know, give me, comfort me. And so we've not been out there doing what we've got to do in our culture, in our country, for decades. And so now we're reaping the whirlwind because of it. So what are we going to do when the time comes? You know, I don't know. But I think Christians need to prepare. As the ant prepares the food during the summer for the winter, we need to prepare for you know, some lean times that may possibly come. Because if violence does ensue all over the place, then supply chains will be lessened. And with that, will come hoarding. And with that, there's going to be problems. So the writing's on the wall, and we got to be careful. So, you know. You want to hold?
Okay, if I could just speak briefly.
Sure,
speak
hold on. We got a break. We got a break, though. Hold on. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Normally, I answer Bible questions. But this is what's happening. People talk about what's on their mind and their heart.
Thank you for listening to the best of Matt Slick. Take it away, Matt.
Larry, you still there?
I am, and thanks for letting me hold over. Just wanted to briefly comment on the previous caller who was totally against the Republican Party and Trump, and yet he's willing to vote straight Democratic. And I'm just curious, did he not know that they are pro-choice and will, you know, even go for
pro-abortion? I don't say pro-choice. I don't use their word. They're pro-abortion.
Yeah.
And the Democratic Party also is
pro-abortion.
Yeah, and the Democratic Party also was the party defending the KKK and slavery in the 1900s.
Yeah.
People don't know that.
Yeah, that was my outcome. All
right. Yeah, yeah, and then they'll destroy statues of people from 1800s, and yet they'll vote Democrat because it's just are you thinking? You know, hello, where's your consistency? Anyway.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
All right, Matt, thank you. Thanks for your service.
All right. Okay, God bless, buddy. All right.
All right, have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
You too. Mark from North Carolina. Mark, welcome. You're on the air.
How's it going?
It's going, man. What do you got, buddy?
All right. I just wanted to show my concern for the country or nation of Nigeria. There seems to be there's a basically a genocide over there. Trump needs to send, I've been in all prayer and supplication, he could take care of it by morning time. He needs to go over there. They're slaughtering Christians over there. He needs to do what's right.
Why don't you write him? And call
it takes so long to get the mail. You know, you hear that pastor,
yeah, but you see, I don't think Trump listens to my radio show. It might be out there. I think it's in the D.C. area, but which I'd love to talk to him, but get him to stop following Paula White, I think is her name. But you know what? Call up Hannity. Call up Fox News and say, this is what's going on. Can you make a mention of it? Because I don't know anything about this. I know that Nigeria
you
has
know
a
that,
huge...
that pastor, excuse me, I'm sorry. That pastor, I think Don Wilton, you know, you'll hear him brag like Trump listens to me or Trump follows me. You know, you hear him brag that every now and then. So I called his prayer line or something, you know, something directly. And I said, you know, can you get in touch with him? I need you. That's kind of like, you say he knows you, you say he follows you, then you can probably call him, get a message to him. This needs to be taken care of now. This is like a Hitler-esque type.
Really? Do you have any? Okay, I always do this. Do you have any documentation for this? I've not heard of it.
No,
maybe the news is suppressing
I've heard
it.
On the world news. They do.
Can you email?
And I heard on the.
Can you email me documentation? Because it is important. I'm not being dismissive. I want to know that this is the case. But I got to know.
I think they said like 12,000 or something, or maybe it was 24,000. It was ridiculous, the amount, the number. And I just thought,
by the Muslims,
my heart
broke. The Muslims
I actually cried. I don't want to say that.
Okay, I'll tell you what. What we need is documentation. And so when people call up, that's fine. You know, if something like this is happening, then we need to know as Christians. And we need to be praying about it at the very least and do what we can to help people. Good, get on our knees. And not just pray, but we need to, you know, see what we can do. But it has to be established that it is happening. And so I'd like to see the documentation, because if it is happening, I will mention it on the radio. Folks, this is what needs to happen. And we need to be praying.
I think I heard it on the Truth Network. I think I heard it on the Truth Network, the news.
Okay.
Yeah, they'll blip in.
Okay. Yeah, I've not heard it.
It's concerned me.
It should concern all of us.
I mean, it's like all of us. It's like Hitler.
Well, okay, I don't know. I'm looking at Nigeria genocide right now on the web, and
genocide of Christians.
Is genocide happening in Nigeria as the world turns a blind eye? Look, there it is. Yeah. So there's some stuff.
I'm concerned, man.
Good.
I'm scared with fear and trembling, just like it says, you know. With fear and trembling, but that's for my own salvation. Yes, I've been through that, but
That's where Boko Haram. That's where Boko Haram.
Right, exactly. I didn't want to mention the names, but when you said that's exactly right. That's exactly right. I just didn't want to mention. I did know that, but I don't want to. You know.
Yeah, I'm looking at stuff as we're talking, and it looks like there's something going on over there. Why isn't the news talking about this? Yeah, this is not good.
Trump has got to, somebody's got to get over there, man. But like you said, Hannity maybe.
Well, let's pray. Let's pray that.
I pray that he's got fighters in the air or suiting up. I said, please. I pray last night. Take care of this before the sun comes up.
But we can't. I mean, if I were the president, I'd be saying, "What can we do about this? If whatever's able to be done, let's see if we could do something. Is it possible to just send fighter jets over without Nigeria's permission and start attacking people? You can't do that. So it has to be done properly through proper channels. It might be that Trump's already working on something like this. I don't know. But the thing is, we definitely got to pray and look for, you look for avenues to be able to communicate this to the right people. This is a meager radio show that I have here. There's not that many. It's, we're on less than 20 stations, I think, that for me. And I'd like to be on hundreds, but I'm not. And so.
Should be.
Well, we need more money. We need more funding. We need more support. We can't do it. We don't have the funding coming in.
Try to help you out on that as much as possible this time. I appreciate you. I listen to you. I support you.
Thank you.
I really enjoy your show. But I just thought I'd mention that so that more people out there would hear it. But like you say, try to get in touch with Hannity, maybe.
Yeah, and also, I happen to know that in Nigeria, one of the largest churches there is just an abusive, charismatic, name it and claim it, prosperity gospel church. It's abusing the people. So there's a lot
that's
of stuff.
Not even a church.
That's another thing going on. Yeah. But I appreciate that.
That's not church.
Yeah.
Man, thanks so much. I really appreciate it, Matt.
All right, man. Well, God bless, buddy.
Have a great one.
You too.
God bless.
Thank you for listening to the best of Matt Slick Live. For more great content like this, or to donate to the ministry, be sure to visit carm.org. You can also catch Matt Slick Live every weekday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Truth Network app and YouTube.
This is the Truth Network.